song. Yeah. Every now and then you start singing something and the words just start coming through to you and you're like, wow. That's like my whole message this morning. I don't know. Maybe I ought not preach. Maybe we already did it. I'm not sure. Well, good morning. It's great to have you here. Several things as we look up into the coming week. Of course, today is the last day that we're collecting items for the college care packages. So if you have something that you want to bring in that we can send to the college students, go ahead and get that in through this evening. And then tomorrow, anyone that would like to come in and help to package those care packages, they'll do that at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And you can come in too. I think they'll probably meet in the conference room over in the elementary building. But you can come in and help us to get that accomplished. The bulletin says to add some TLC to those packages. But those are always a blessing to our college students and something that they can look forward to. And then next Sunday is our fall festival day, so make sure that you mark that on your calendar. We'll have the normal morning service, then we'll have lunch, and then we'll have an afternoon service with games and activities and things that will go along with that. Invite friends, invite others to come out and be with you and enjoy a special day as we celebrate what God does during the harvest and just the fall time of year. Isn't it beautiful? I love the fall. It's my favorite season. So be prepared for that. Bring someone to be with you. And then don't forget our missionaries to pray for this week. We have Josh and Jamie Pilevka and Brandon and Kristen Kelly, and you have some notes about them and specific items that you can pray for them in the upcoming month. Take your Bible, if you would, and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll get our starting point for the message this morning. If we were going to title the message, I would put it as Finding Faith. The whole idea of finding faith in my life and then what that faith should accomplish in me. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Verse number 6, kind of the key verse as we look into the message this morning. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Dear Lord, this morning, as we come into the morning worship service, as we look into your word, we pray that you'll just guide our hearts, that the Holy Spirit will be able to work in each of us, to give us exactly what you have to be applied in each of our lives today, that will give you free reign, and that this morning, the honor and blessing will go to you as we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So finding faith, Hebrews 11:6, we read that one, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then I'll add another verse into that kind of as our jumping off point as we come into this, and that's Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." As we begin to look at finding faith in our lives, two different things here. Number one, that faith is the only way that we can please God on a day-to-day basis. Anything that we do, say, anything that we are participating in, if we want God to receive the glory and to receive the praise for that, it's supposed to be done through faith. Now, the second part of this is, how do I get that faith? Have you ever looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and thought, wow, wouldn't it be neat someday, you know, to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to think that, you know, maybe in some aspect that I would come close to maybe being mentioned and maybe and some of those others? Now, I don't expect to be one of them that's named. I mean, that wasn't an expectation. But maybe I could be in part of and some others who went through all the things that they went through. And yet, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, if we're concentrating on what they did, we've missed the picture. If we're concentrating on Abel and his sacrifice, or Enoch walking with God and being translated, or Samson and the great deeds that he done, or if we concentrate on the fact that Noah built that huge ark, or that Abraham left his country and went into a new place, if we're concentrating on any of those things, we've missed the whole picture of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 isn't about what these men and women did. It's about who their faith was in. It's about the fact that they had faith in God. And because of that faith, they glorified God in their lives no matter what it was that they accomplished. They were people that used faith to overcome great obstacles or do great things. But it wasn't the things they did that was important. It was the faith that they had and who that faith was in. Today, I'd like to kind of discuss what faith is and what it can do for us. Not a new topic. You're not going to look at this and say, oh, really, that's something I've never heard before. No, none of that. But maybe it will help us to be thankful and encourage us to make faith more a priority in our day-to-day life. You know, every day we're going to need faith if we're going to live for God and bring glory to Him. We've already read the verse, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. So He's looking for faith. God's not looking for what you're doing. He's looking to see if you're doing it in faith. He's looking at our hearts and at our lives and saying, okay, what kind of faith does this person have? You know, the life that we live that is going to be pleasing to God must be established in faith and directed by faith. It has to fulfill the truth of God's word and that faith being real. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. If we want to be that person that is a lighthouse, if we want to be a church that's a lighthouse to our community, then the first thing we have to establish is a life lived in faith. You know, these statements in 1 Timothy 4 are meant to show us that God does have a design for our lives. And it centers around acknowledging that faith is vital. Faith is necessary to run the Christian race. Faith is necessary and it's needful if we want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we reach the end of this life. So we're going to start at the very beginning. Where does it all start? And where do we expect to get to? Now, we could go in and do a whole apologetic thing. You know, we could look at how God has revealed Himself through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ, how the laws of nature and science and math all show us who God is and what He can accomplish. But if we come back to the very simple origins, maybe that's where we need to be. What is faith? Faith is belief. Faith is dependence. Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. You say, where did you get those, Webster's? You know, if you're looking for a definition, you run to the dictionary. So those are all in Webster's dictionary. Belief, dependence, trust, confidence. Now for us, we're not looking at faith in a chair or faith in another person. We're looking at faith in an almighty, unchanging God. It's recognizing that He can, He will, and He does. It's all about who my faith is in. The fact that my faith is in someone that never changes. That is holy. That is righteous. That is perfect. And He's always the same in how He deals with people who want to show that faith. It requires what of me? It requires me to surrender to Him. Who I am. What I believe. What I do, what I want, completely and wholly to Him. Now, how does this happen? 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not, how do I put it? It's not my faith. It's faith that comes from Him and what He's revealed. It's faith that He gives us through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, that allows me to believe, to depend, to trust, to have that confidence. So point number one, if you like taking points, this would be point one. I don't always remember to do that, so I thought I'd try to get that in this morning. We must have faith for salvation. Salvation, of course, is the beginning point of the Christian life. And these are points we all know, but sometimes it's good just to hear them repeated, especially when you're talking about, okay, what has God brought me from and what is God trying to get me to? First, we have to recognize that we're sinners and I learn of my sin through the Word of God. Galatians chapter 3 says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So God used His law, the Ten Commandments, to show us where we come short of a holy and righteous and perfect God. We learn of our sin, but then we learn how much God loves us and the fact that He was willing to pay the price for our sin. And God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And in becoming flesh, He was the perfect man and yet still God. And He chose to be that Lamb of God, the Bible says, that would take away the sin of the world. And He would die and shed His blood for us so that our sins could be forgiven through His sacrifice. Now, you look at this and you say, well, I already know that. Well, great. So the next aspect is, have you accepted what God did as the payment for your sin? Have you come to God in faith and accepted that sacrifice that He made? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that we do that earns salvation. Now, it would be nice if we could. I mean, we think of that. We like doing things in order to show that we understand and that we've accepted something. We enjoy pleasing. Most people enjoy pleasing somebody, whether that's pleasing somebody in your family so that they smile and they say, I love you, whether that's pleasing your boss at work so that you get that paycheck on Friday. You know, we like to please other people. And yet with this, God said there's nothing you can do in salvation that will please me. It's all according to your faith. It is a gift of God, salvation through His Son. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. When we look at ourselves as an individual and we really are honest with ourselves, we're not always easy to love. All right, and I don't want any of my family amening at this point. We all have those times, right? I mean, there are days when, listen, I'm just a perfect angel. You know, you can ask my mama. She'll tell you that I was the good kid. I behaved myself really well. But there were probably things that she may not have been totally aware of. Yeah, we'll keep that a secret. That's all right. But I like to think that overall I could be a pretty good person. But when I really consider where I am in God's eyes, according to Scripture, with the thoughts and attitudes and everything that goes through my mind, maybe not always in my actions, but through my mind and through my heart, where do I really fall? The Bible says I fall short of the glory of God. So isn't it amazing that God loves us the way that He does? It's amazing that, you know, if I accept what God has said in His Word, I accept what He has done and being that sacrifice and His love for the world, that there's nothing I can do, that I'm totally trusting in Him. If I accept that by faith, with the belief, dependence, confidence, and trust in Him, then what does He do? He saves me. He's provided that salvation. He secured it. And what does he do? He says, here it is. It's my gift to you. That's amazing. That someone would give me something so precious as his own life. To be able to sacrifice and die in my place. That's love. And that's a love that we have to accept by faith, because how tremendous it really is. God saves me. God keeps me. He gives me his promise of salvation with eternal life. You know, it's nice knowing that God loves me. It's nice knowing that God has saved me and he walks with me every day of this life. But isn't it amazing that God wants me to live with him forever in heaven for all eternity? I mean, honestly, just the fact that he not only chooses in this life to be my Savior and to give me a hope and a peace in his presence and through his word that the Bible says passes all understanding. But he also wants for me to live with him forever in heaven. Now, I probably say this too much, but I can think of really astounding things of what heaven could be like. You know, can you picture heaven? And, you know, the Bible gives us a description of heaven in the book of Revelation. And you think about everything that it describes, but then it says that it goes beyond what we could even imagine. Now, I have a vivid imagination. Okay, there are people that know me. Mrs. Gooding is down here laughing. She probably knows that very well. But think about the grandest and greatest things that you could ever imagine being yours for all eternity. And the fact of being with God in heaven for all eternity. That's amazing. But that's what faith gives to us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, then we have that love, we have that promise, we have that guarantee from God of what he tells us about heaven. So the first thing, God gives us faith, and that's faith for salvation. Now the next point can be a lot of fun, because this is a process. You know, faith is a gift, salvation is a gift. It's one time, I believe and it's mine, and it says God puts me in his hand and I'm his forever. Praise the Lord for that. But sanctification, we must have faith for sanctification. Sanctification is a process. It's something that God is working on me every day to try to achieve. Now, a lot of us, I'll put myself in this, struggle with sanctification. All right? Salvation, got it. Nailed it. I'm good. God saves me. Praise the Lord. Then I forget that God's in charge. And I forget that God is the one that needs to work through me. So I start trying to decide what I'm going to do and what I'm going to be and how my day is going to go. And right here I put in my note, oops, what happened? Why? Because if I'm living in faith, then I've got to recognize that it's God that is going to do the work. You know, I know that God wants me to live for him, and I need to align my life with God's word. But too often I try to do it in my own power without him. Well, I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to take care of that, and I'll look at this and see what happens there. And we forget where we're supposed to be putting that confidence and dependence and trust. 1 Peter 1 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So what's our standard? It's the holiness of God. It's the example that Jesus Christ has given us. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Now, how am I going to get my life to match up with what God wants it to be? It's going to come as I yield myself to him. God will use the Holy Spirit. God will use his word to remove sin from my life and point it out so that I know that it has to go. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, but the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If I want to know where I am in that process of sanctification, I'm going to find it as I look at God's word. I'm going to find where I am in my Christian walk as I compare myself to what God says. As I compare myself to that example of Jesus Christ and the life that he lived when he was here on this earth. Now again, as we start in that process of sanctification, the outside sometimes is the easier part. The harder part is what goes through my head and through my heart. My words. My heart one. My attitudes. I got to look. Evidently somebody else said, you know, my attitude could really be a whole lot better than what it is a lot of the time. I'm glad I have some help there. Thank you. That helps. But that's an area maybe you don't see. Why? Because that's in my head. That's my thoughts that God sees and God knows. So sanctification is supposed to be me becoming more like Christ. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Philippians 4:8 says that if there's to be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. And what are those things? If we should be true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Wow. I might get one or two of those on a daily basis. Do I get all, what, six of those? That would be, you know, that might be a miracle of God. But that's my goal. My goal is to make sure that where I am in Christ matches up to what Scripture says that it's supposed to be. But it's only going to happen through faith. Can I change my mind to be what God expects it to be? No. Why? Because I'm in this flesh. And the flesh loves to take over. And my desires and my thoughts tend to go in the direction of the flesh and the world and all of those things. So what do I have to do? I've got to surrender that to God through his Holy Spirit and through his word. I have to learn how to walk by faith. I have to make it so it's less of me and more of him. Less of my thoughts and more of his thoughts. Less of my actions and more of his will. Less of my words and what he would have me to say and what he would have me to do. Now, is this easy? No, not at all. Even the Apostle Paul himself, and we consider him to be a great Christian who lived by faith and a great missionary who went starting churches and reaching people with the gospel. What does he say? He says, the things that he would do, I do not. And the things that I would not, those are the things that I do. Even Paul recognized that struggle in his life of sanctification, of trying to be what God would have him to be. Now, you say, okay, Mr. Tanner, that's like a doom and gloom. How am I supposed to do this? We do it through God. See, and that's where the key comes in. It's not going to be done through my will or my intelligence or my whatever. It's going to be done as I surrender it to God, as I yield to him, as I give him that confidence, okay, God, you can do it. As I say, okay, God, I'm depending on you to accomplish this in my life, and I have confidence that I can't, but you can. I can have that faith in God that he can work through me. And by faith, I can accept him working in my life. And I can accept the changes that need to be made. I can accept that my power is not going to get me anywhere I need to be. But his power can change me. His power can make me a vessel unto honor. A vessel worthy, the Bible says, of the master's use. Something that will glorify and honor him. So we can have that faith for salvation. We can have faith that's going to sanctify us, that's going to lead us through that sanctification process. But then we can also have faith for service to him. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I think this kind of builds. My thought here was, okay, faith for salvation. I need to make sure that my position in Christ is right. And then that faith for sanctification means I'm getting closer to God. I'm getting sin out of my life. I'm trying to follow the example that he set. I'm trying to be more of what he wants me to be. And then what happens? Then what happens is I want to please God in what I do. As I'm learning about him, now I'm to that point, okay, God, I want to serve you. I want my actions to follow suit with the fact of your love saved me. And you're sanctifying my life and making me into something new. The Bible says a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So God, you've made me this new creature, and now I want to serve you. I want to prove my love to you. I want to prove my faith to you. I want to reciprocate what you've done in my life. By now, I want to do something for you. I want to show you my love. And we'll do that as we commit our lives to him. But look at this verse. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Even in this verse, as we're looking at giving our lives a living sacrifice, letting God work through us, letting God get the glory for what we're going to be, what does it goes back to? It goes back to having the faith to let God change my mind. Being transformed on the inside, and it says, by the word of God, transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's going to do that? Only God's word. Because again, what do I have to do? I have to find God's will. I have to find God's plan. I have to find what God wants for me. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I have God's word in my heart, then my thoughts are going to be true and honest and just and lovely and of a good report. And then my actions will follow suit to be what God wants me to be. But how does it happen? Through faith. Complete confidence, complete dependence, complete reliance on him. My service to God is only going to bring him glory if it's done through faith. I can have a life that looks good on the outside, but it can be rotten on the inside. Look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees outwardly appeared to be wonderful and righteous servants of God. They had the works, they had the language, they had the terminology, they were there in the temple, they knew God's law. But what does Jesus say about them? You're whited sepulchres. You're full of dead man's bones. You're leading people away from God rather than to him. Why? Because it wasn't accomplished through faith. Because it wasn't accepting what God was doing and bringing him the glory. They were looking for glory for themselves. They were looking to be outwardly everything that they should be, but inwardly nowhere near what God wanted them to be. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. If we're going to be that servant of God, if our service is going to be accepted, it needs to be done in faith. Hebrews 11:39 says, "In these all, having obtained a good report through faith." It wasn't that they obtained a good report because they did great deeds. It wasn't that they obtained a good report because they were where they should have been when they should have been there. It's that they obtained a good report because they did it through faith. God wants us to serve him. And as we serve him, we can bring him glory and we can bring him praise. Others can see our lives and see faithfulness to God, and they can see the power of God in our lives. 1 Corinthians says that, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." The key root of that word is faith. So faith has to be part of my being faithful in his service. He wants us to be faithful stewards of what he's given us. It's supposed to be a life that's saved, sanctified, and serving all by faith. Allowing God to have complete control. That's where it gets hard. You know, they talk about personality types and where you fall in personality types. But honestly, I think all of us, because of sin and because of the flesh and the fall, we like to be able to control our own lives. We have that aspect of, I'd like to do this. I'd like to see this. I'd like for this to happen. And we get into that acknowledgement of, hey, these are all the things that I want. But I think I need to go back and look and say, what does God want from my life? Am I really living a life of faith? Am I fully believing in him? Am I totally dependent on him? Is my trust and all of my confidence in God? For everything that I'm going to accomplish in this day, who am I really depending on? Who am I really trusting? Am I really exhibiting? Am I really doing it through faith? Now, he can, and he does, but we've got to be willing to give it to him. We've got to recognize that he is God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 will repeat this verse, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. A faith that is going to change my life is going to be a faith that God is the one that activates it, that God is the one doing the work. It's done through the power of God. I like acronyms. I like acronyms, putting the letters and making words from it to help me remember things. So here's one. Faith, fully acknowledging individual trust, little preposition in, him. Fully acknowledging individual trust in him. Where's my faith today? God wants it to be completely and wholly in him. He will save. He will sanctify. He will let me serve. But what does he want me to do it through? He wants me to do it through a life of faith. And that's a daily process. Why? Because every day I'm going to make choices, and those choices will determine who's in charge of my life. Those choices will determine whether I'm doing it his way or whether I'm trying to do it my way. So the truth is, where's my faith this morning? Is my faith really in an almighty, unchanging, all-powerful God that loves me so much, that wants to see the very best from me? But am I willing to put it all on that altar and say, God, here I am. I am that living sacrifice that you're asking for, and I want a life lived by faith. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. A life directed by faith, a life that starts in faith in Christ for salvation. That's the starting point of living a life by faith, is recognizing what God already did for you and sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place, to forgive you of your sins and to give you a home in heaven. If you're here this morning and you've never started this life of faith by accepting Christ as your Savior, then this morning would be a great day to start that walk of faith. Christians, where are we? Are we living a life of faith in our sanctification and trying to be more like Christ on a daily basis, of giving our lives completely to him and by faith allowing him to make us more like his son and more like the example he set? Where are we in our service? Remember, it's not about what I'm doing, but about who I'm doing it through. They accomplished great deeds. They did great things. They were noted in Hebrews chapter 11. And we call it the hall of faith. What was the key ingredient? Their faith. What made them the servant of God that got them recognition was the fact that they had faith in God to live for him, to serve him, to become more like him, to be his child, to give their lives completely to him. Where are we this morning in living and finding that faith? Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for that salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your son. Thank you that he paid that sacrifice for our sin. Thank you that he set the example that we're supposed to follow on a daily basis. Dear Lord, this morning, help us to find faith. Help us to find faith in you. Help it to be a faith that changes me, a faith that brings you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, Mr. Young.